turn to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5. And the title of this message is A Kingdom Embassy. A Kingdom Embassy. In our walk through the book of Matthew, we have tried to stress the importance of the coming kingdom. We have talked about how Jesus offered the kingdom to Israel, and he said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was there for them to receive. We also mentioned how that there's going to be this interim period of time between the offering of the kingdom to Israel, which they rejected, and when the kingdom actually comes into existence. We know that as the church age. We know that at the time that we're in right now. We also know that when the Bible speaks of the last days are from the time of Jesus until His return. Okay? So we're living in the last days right now. But we know that there's a kingdom coming when Jesus is going to rule this world forever. So we know that kingdom is coming when Jesus is going to set upon the throne of David. And we know that there's going to come a time when Israel will accept Jesus as their king. They will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will receive Jesus to be their king. But in this period of time, known as the church age, as the last days, we want to understand that the church is sort of pinch-hitting for Israel. Israel was called of God to be the people of God, to make the glory of God known throughout the entire world. And we know that as we look at Israel and we study, we know that Israel failed to do that which God had called them to do. So we recognize that today the church is the place where the glory of God is to be made known unto the ends of the earth. As the book of Mark says it, preach the gospel to every creature. That's what the church is supposed to do. And so what we want to understand is the church, in this interim period of time, is sort of like an embassy for the coming kingdom. An embassy is in a foreign country and a representative of a foreign government. So if you go down Embassy Road in Washington, D.C., you'll see embassies from several different countries. And on those, in those embassies, when you step on the property, that is the property of that country. And the rule of that country is the laws of that country are in place in that embassy. The language of that country is spoken in that embassy. It is a little piece of that country in the United States. Well, the United States has embassies around the world, and they are representative of the government of the United States in that foreign country. So what we want to understand is that the church is an embassy. It is an embassy for the coming kingdom. And as kingdom citizens and as ambassadors for the coming kingdom, we are to display the characteristics of the kingdom inside the church. In other words, if the world is looking for the way the kingdom is going to operate, they ought to be able to see that inside the church. And if they want to know what a kingdom citizen is going to look like, they ought to be able to look at Christians and say, well, that's what a kingdom citizen looks like. You know, you go to the Sermon on the Mount that we read, Matthew chapter 5 and through 7, and we preached that Sermon on the Mount. What Jesus is speaking there is, this is what kingdom citizens look like. This is how they respond to life. This is the characteristics that are present in one that is a kingdom citizen. In his book, The Church, Mark Devers says this: in the church, we should begin to experience a reversal of the effects of the fall. You see, every day we bump into the effects of the fall. You know, hatred and murder and anger and bitterness and strife and all those negative attributes that we see in the world, those are all the effects of the fall. We all have these ailments that we have in the body, and all of those are the effects of the fall. But when we come inside the church, we should begin to see a place where the effects of the fall are no longer present, or at least we're moving towards them not being present. Instead of anger and bitterness and strife, you ought to see love and joy and thanksgiving and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and goodness and kindness and temperance and faith. Those characteristics should be on display. Forgiveness should be on display inside the church. In the church, in the Garden of Eden, you saw what happened because of sin. Separation happened. The fellowship between God and man happened. And trouble between the husband and wife began in the Garden of Eden. Because remember, one of the very first words Adam said, "Hey, that woman you gave me, it was her fault." There you see it, trouble in the family. You want to know why you struggle in your family between the husbands and wives? It's because of the fall. But in the church, we should see unity. In the church, we should see the characteristics of the citizens of the kingdom. In the church, we should experience the rule of Christ. You should see men and women desiring to follow the Scripture as Christ as their head, and following Him in discipleship. Also in the church, the glory of Christ should be seen. Again, as an embassy for the coming kingdom, the characteristics of the kingdom should be present in the citizens of the church. And we find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And let's remember, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, and Christ said, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We want to understand today that we are ambassadors for the embassy. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of Christ. And we understand that the embassy is the place for ambassadors. Paul, and writing to the church at Corinth, is helping the church at Corinth understand their work, their calling, by addressing them as ambassadors. This is what you are to do. You are to, as a church, assemble together and be an embassy. And as an embassy and a member of that embassy, you are an ambassador, and you are to be an ambassador for the kingdom. You are to let the world know what the kingdom of Christ is like. That's your duty. That's your job. That's your responsibility. That's the gift that you've been given by God, to be His ambassador, to represent Christ in this world. That's why we come together in an assembly, because we come together as an assembly in the embassy to encourage ourselves to do the work that God's called us to do. And you'll notice when He tells them about the work that they have been given, their ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. They are to proclaim the message of reconciliation. And they are to proclaim the message of the righteousness, as you see verse 20 or 18 tells them that they have the ministry of reconciliation. And in verse number 21, it says that we might be made the righteousness of God. They are to proclaim the message of righteousness, that there is no righteousness apart from the imputed righteousness of Christ. And so what they are to do is to proclaim that righteousness is available, and the righteousness that is available is the righteousness of Christ. And that when you put on the righteousness of Christ, then you're able to live righteously in this present evil world. So when they walk in the righteousness of Christ, as the representatives of Christ, the world is able to see the glory of God. Because they're able to see, this is what God does in a life. This is what forgiveness looks like. This is what hope looks like. This is what joy looks like. They're able to see that and experience that. And it's all because of the glory of God. So let's remember that the culture of a foreign land is often foreign to the place where the embassy is located. In other words, you know, let's take, if the United States was, you know, we're going to say, let's the United States embassy to somewhere in the Middle East, you know. The culture is different in the United States than it is in those foreign countries. And so, the same is true for the ambassador of Christ. When he walks in the righteousness of Christ, his character will be foreign to the citizens of the land where he is dwelling. In other words, if we are walking as a Christian, and we're walking in the character of Christ, and we are walking in the righteousness of Christ, as we go out to minister the message of reconciliation, our character is going to be different than the world's character. The people that are in the world, they're not going to see the world through the eyes of the Scripture as we do. They're not going to recognize how we can be forgiven. They're not going to recognize how we can seek unity. They're not going to recognize the peace that we have in our lives. Our character is going to be different. Even the words that we speak will be different. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And our heart is different than our words. Words are going to be different. You see, we want to understand that as a church, we are an embassy together, and we are individually, as individual members of Christ, of the church, we are individual ambassadors, and we are ambassadors for the kingdom. So we recognize that we have a great opportunity to represent Christ and His glory to this world. I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about, you know, the ambassadors. You know, we have an ambassador to Lick Creek, and we have ambassadors to Pleasant Hill, and we have ambassadors to Burning Fork, and we have ambassadors to West Liberty, and we have ambassadors to Elk Creek, and ambassadors to Bloomington, and you know, I guess we even got an ambassador to Moorhead, don't we? I mean, you know, we have ambassadors to all these different places. We assemble together as a church in the embassy, but we go out into those different locations to be the ambassador. Think about the jobs where we have ambassadors located. We have ambassadors in banks and physical therapy, and we have school teachers, and we have, you know, in county employment and state employment. And we have ambassadors in many different locations, right? So we have ambassadors out there in the world, and they are influencing or spreading throughout the world the dominion of Jesus Christ. So we want to understand that we are ambassadors. So that's the main gist of what I want you to get today. But I do want to mention, to help us understand why we are ambassadors and why we are an embassy for Christ. Moby read for you earlier Psalm 110, so let's turn there. I'm just going to read Psalm 110 and verse number 1. Where it says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." So what we read here is that Jesus is now at the Father's right hand. Jesus is going to spend a period of time at the Father's right hand awaiting the authority to administer His kingdom in this world. We'll study this more in-depthly as we go through the book of Matthew. But all I want to make mention of right here is that Jesus is in the presence of His Father, waiting until the time for Him to come and to put His kingdom into practice on this earth. It is the Old Testament teaching the interim period of time without mentioning the church. It is the unfolding of the plan of God that He tells us that there's going to be a time when the kingdom is going to be offered. Jesus is going to go away for a period of time to sit at the Father's right hand. Then later He's going to come back. If you read the rest of the Psalm 110, He's going to come back and He's going to put His kingdom into practice. But right now we're in this interim period of time when Jesus is sitting on the Father's right hand, and there's a reason why. There's a reason why this interim has to take place, and it's in the book of Romans in chapter 11. Again, I'm not going to go back and revisit it, but we have mentioned often how that the responsibility of the nation of Israel was to make the glory of God known to the entire world. And we know, as we reflect upon the history of the nation of Israel, that they did not accomplish that purpose. We know that instead of going into the world and spreading the glory of God, we know they got into their own little holy huddle, didn't they? They became their own little nation. And if you wasn't just like them, then you were an outcast and you were a dog and they wouldn't have anything to do with you. And instead of reaching out with the glory of God, they became their own little holy huddle. Listen, that is a warning to us also, that we don't follow the same path of Israel. And we don't get so involved in our own little holy huddles that we miss out on our main responsibility to make the glory of God known around the world. One of the problems with churches is that they have separated themselves from the rest of the world and said, oh, we're the church and nobody else is. And then we don't want to go out into the world. And we don't, you know, they've hidden themselves from the world. Instead of making the glory of God known around the world, they kind of got in their own holy little huddle and kept themselves from going out and being ambassadors as they should be. Remember, you can't be an ambassador unless you go into a foreign country. So the reason that Israel was cut off is because they didn't do what God called them to do. They did not make the glory of God known around the world. And in the book of Romans in chapter number 11, in verse number 7, I will begin reading. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them, that their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my auspice. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? The life from the dead. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You know, there's lots to say here, and I'm not going to spend, you know, a lot of time here, but what's this period of time addressing? It's addressing the period of time when Israel was cut off. When God sort of set Israel aside for a period of time. Again, they were to make the glory of God known. They were not making the glory of God known. And we want to understand that the gospel is to be preached to the entire world. So since Israel is not doing that which they've been called to do, God has cut them off. And it says He grafts in this wild branch into the olive tree. What's He referring to there? He's talking about the time of the Gentiles. He's talking about the time when He begins to establish the church. And He's talking about that period of time there is talking about the church age. He's talking about this period of time that we're living in now when the church is now pinch-hitting for Israel, and it is the church's responsibility to make the glory of God known to the ends of the earth, to preach the gospel to every creature. So that's the period of time we're in now. That time when Jesus is sitting at the Father's right hand. The period of time when Israel has been cut off is the time we're living in now. The time when the church is present and the church is to act as an embassy for the kingdom to say, the kingdom is coming and this is what the kingdom looks like. That's what the period of time that we're in right now. Now we know as we read and we study that Israel was cut off because of unbelief. Their eyes were blinded and their ears were closed. They cannot see the truth and they could not hear the truth. Verse 11 tells us that the Gentiles were grafted in. Verse number 15 says, the cutting off of Israel is going to lead to the reconciling of the world. The gospel is going to be preached around the world. And how long is that period of time? It says in verse number 25, until, at the end of that verse, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. In other words, there is a period of time that God has designated as the time of the Gentiles, and Israel is going to be cut off, and the church is going to be active as an embassy for that period of time that God has called the time of the Gentiles. The time that we're living in right now. But we also know that there's an end of that time. Because it says, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. This time that we're living in will have an end. And then it tells us in verse 26, so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. What's going to happen? There's a time when Israel is going to look upon the one whom they appear. They're going to see Jesus as the Messiah. And in the past they rejected Him, but they will receive Him. And when they receive their Messiah, then the kingdom will be ushered in. Now we don't know when that is. We don't know how long the period of the time of the Gentiles is going to be. All we know is this, that we're living in that period of time now. And now it is our responsibility to be the embassy for the kingdom, to make the characteristics of the citizens of the kingdom known to the world. That's the period of time that we're living in now. The apostles didn't get it completely, because the apostles still looked for the kingdom. And you find that in the book of Acts in chapter number 1. Again, the apostles, even at the ascension of Jesus, were looking for the kingdom to come upon the earth. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 6, it says, When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? All right, we recognize you've been crucified, you've been buried, you've been raised again. Now is the time. Now is the time for you to ascend to the throne of David. Now is the time for the kingdom to come. They still didn't get it. And what did Jesus say? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. Israel is looking, the apostles are looking for the restoration of the kingdom, and Jesus tells them, listen, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons when God is going to accomplish his purpose. Here's the only thing that you need to know. You will receive power as the church. And we read that as we turn over in the book of Acts in chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit comes upon the church and they receive that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So you're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witnesses unto me. The church, as the embassy, is going to be a witness of the coming kingdom to the uttermost parts of the earth. The church will be witnesses. The church will be ambassadors. They will serve as an embassy to the kingdom unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen, here's the good news. The church is not going to fail. Here's the good news. The gospel is going to be preached unto the ends of the earth. You know why we know that? Because God says it. That's why. God didn't say, well, now, you know, you might be if you do this or if you do that. Or you... No! He says, you shall be witnesses unto me. Here's what we need to get. The church is not going to fail. As we look into the world, people are saying, well, the church is failing. No, it's not. The true members of the Lord's churches are being faithful to do the work that God has called them to do. He will be with us until the end of the age. And instead of having a defeated attitude like the church is failing, we need to understand that He's called us to victory. He's called us to be witnesses. He's called us to be His ambassadors. And as ambassadors for the kingdom, we need to be about the work of being an ambassador for the kingdom and recognize that there is victory for the church in this world in which we are living today. God is going to accomplish His purposes. I feel like saying amen, whether anybody else does or not. The church is going to accomplish the work of God. How long will this be? How long is the church age? When is it going to end and the kingdom going to come? It's not for us to know the times of the seasons which God has put in His power. It's His plan. It's His purpose. All we are to do is to be faithful to what He's called us to. It could end today. It may not end for another 1,000 years. I don't know. But as long as we're here, as long as He gives us breath, we are to be an ambassador for the kingdom. And this church is to be an embassy. This church is to be a place where ambassadors come together to fellowship together and to be strengthened and to learn how to be a better ambassador and to find joy in the Lord and then to go out and be an ambassador again and then come back together and assemble together and be encouraged in the Lord and be encouraged to do the Lord's work and then go out and be the representative for the Lord. That's what we're called to do. And so, we haven't seen it yet in the book of Matthew, but soon we will. We're beginning Matthew 14, and it's in Matthew 16 where we're going to read that Jesus is going to build His church. And so we recognize that Jesus is preparing for His departure, and He's going to build the church so the church can be that embassy for His kingdom. But we're not there yet in our study of the book of Matthew, but we will get there soon. Right now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, awaiting for the time for His kingdom to come and spread it around the world. But again, remember, that time is not going to happen until Israel receives their Messiah. But here we are today, citizens of the kingdom, sitting in the embassy. And we are kingdom citizens because we have acquired faith. We have repented of our sins. We're said the world is not our home. Our sin is separated between us and the Father. And we've repented of that sin. And we've sought citizenship in the kingdom of God. Recruitment is taking place today of citizens. We're seeking other citizens to go to the kingdom with us. We want other people to know about the glories of the kingdom. And so we're out in the world recruiting citizens to come and be a part of the kingdom. And the way we do that is we don't talk about other citizens. We point people to the king. There is a king. He's coming soon. And we point people to the king. We recognize that the King is the key in our lives. And so, Mark Dever, in his book on the church, said, the church is the place where we begin to experience a reversal of the effects of the fall, which I've already read. But I want you to understand, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. What are we doing as an embassy? 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 15, it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the church. This embassy is the household of God. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. There is no truth out in the world. There's really no fellowship in the world. True fellowship only comes in the household of God. So you're in the family of God. You're in the household of God. You're the embassy. You're an ambassador. So we understand that as ambassadors in the embassy, in the church, we're to take the gospel to the ends of the world, to the ends of the earth. That's what we read, right? Israel failed to spread the glory of God. They were cut off. But the church will succeed. We will be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is why we serve in the local church. That's why we prepare to send out missionaries, like we're going to have the missionaries soon to come to be with us. That's why we send out missionaries, because not every one of us can go to the ends of the earth, but some can. And so we prepare missionaries to go so that we can be a part of being a witness to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's why you serve in the local church. Serving in the local church is being a part of the embassy, is part of being an ambassador. You serve in the church to be a part of the success plan of God. You serve to be part of the success of the plan of God. The plan of God is to use individual men and women as His ambassadors and to come together as a church so the church can reach out to the uttermost parts of the world so the world can see the glory of God. You realize that, right? Every time you come together in the church, you're being a part of making the glory of God known. That's why we sing of His glory. That's why we pray to His glory. That's why we read of His glory. That's why we encourage one another and practice discipline of one another so that we can help each other spread the glory of God. Listen, it's God's plan for you to be a part of the church and so that you can make His glory known. And listen, if you're not active in what the church is doing, you're failing in your part of making the glory known. Right? So we want to understand how critical it is and how vital it is. I don't really have time to dig into it, but also in the church, the fellowship between the Father and the Son, Jesus prays in John 17 to his Father. This is what I believe is the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying to his Father there, and he's praying, Lord, I pray that they can be one as you and I are one, so they can experience the fellowship that you and I experience. You know where the fellowship of the Father and the Son takes place? In the church. See, in the church is the place where fellowship is experienced. And the only way to experience that fellowship is in the embassy. That's why it's critical. So, the church is an embassy. Again, the embassy is the place where the rule takes place. So, when someone steps into an embassy, the language of that country is spoken there. The laws of that country are active there. And so, when someone steps into an embassy, things are different in the embassy. And so, when you step inside the church, the language is different because we're speaking the words of God. The rules are different because instead of being ruled by the flesh, we're being ruled by the Spirit. It's different inside the embassy than it is in the world. Now, if it's not, we need to ask ourselves, why is it not? Maybe we need to think about how we are being led by the Spirit. But the church is the place where the rules of the kingdom are enacted. The church, as we assemble together, we see the rules of the kingdom in practice. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, kindness, temperance, faith. All of those should be a part. We should seek the unity of the bond of the Spirit, right? Inside the embassy. The church, we remember the commission to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We know to go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them what? To observe all things whatsoever commanded you. So, in the church is where you learn how to observe all things. Listen, do you know all of what the Bible says a Christian ought to be? Do you know every aspect of being led by the Spirit of God? Do you know everything it takes to put off the flesh and put on the new man? I'm going to venture to say the answer to that is no. None of us know it perfectly. So we assemble together to learn. We assemble together to see it in our brothers and sisters in Christ. We assemble together to hold each other accountable for walking according to the rules of the kingdom. All of those things are vital and critical. We assemble together to teach to observe to the uttermost parts of the earth, to make disciples of one another. We remember the church is the body of Christ, and read it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 27. We want to remember that the literal body of Christ is in heaven, but the church is the representative of the body of Christ on earth. The church stands in for the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. The assembly together is the body of Christ. And you are a member of the body of Christ, particularly. Ooh, I say that real fast. Particularly. I can't hardly say it. So you, as a member of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, are a member of the body of Christ. You know, they always say one of the things that makes the military attractive, I guess, to people is that it gives people an opportunity to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Well, listen, you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself? Be active in the body of Christ. Because, listen, the military, it has limited ability. It's big, but it's not that big compared to the kingdom of heaven. And besides its influence, wanes. Because before long, you get to the place to where you can't be active in that kingdom or in the military anymore because your body won't allow you to. But listen, you will be an active part of the kingdom of God in the body of Christ forever. And that the work that you do inside the embassy is eternal work. You will enjoy eternal rewards. Be a part of something bigger than yourself. Be active in your church. Be a representative of Jesus to this world. Hey, go out and find other citizens and bring them into the kingdom along with you. Understand the importance of your service to God. The world and the things of the world is going farther away from following God. We need to represent God more completely. We need to let our light shine greater. And we need to let the world recognize what a privilege it is and what a gift it is to be a part of the body of Christ. You know what? We need to let the world see what it looks like to be led by God. They need to see us following the Scripture. They need to see. They'll ask you questions. Well, why do you do this or why do you not do that? Well, as a citizen of the kingdom, my guidebook for being a citizen says that that is sin and I shouldn't do it. Or my guidebook tells me that as a citizen of the kingdom, the Scripture says this is what I do. I'm going to emulate Christ. So I'm going to put on Christ. And I'm going to look like Christ. So that's why I respond to life the way that I do. That's why I do this or I don't do that. Because I'm putting on Christ. Israel was cut off because of their unbelief. They shirked their responsibility and their duty as ambassadors. We need to understand that if we shirk our responsibility to be an ambassador, how will Christ be known? How will Christ be known? You see, many have no concept of what it means to follow Jesus. They have no idea how to let the Scripture guide their life. They don't know what it's like. They weren't raised in church. And listen, as we move forward, fewer and fewer people are going to be raised in church. And so they're going to have no concept of what it means to be a Christian. So they're going to need more education. They're going to need more encouragement. They're going to need more direction. So we need to be surrendered more to being guided by the Scripture so we can help others know what it means to be an ambassador for the kingdom. As one of the Lord's churches, we have a tremendous duty. We represent Christ. We're His ambassadors. This church is His embassy. We have a great responsibility. So, do you know how to properly represent Christ? Do you know what the church is? Do you know how the church functions? Do you know the rules of the church? Do you know how the church operates? Do you know the church programs and the plans and why we do what we do and all of that? We're going to begin to learn those things. You need to learn about the church because the church is the embassy. And you're an ambassador. And your love for the church and your participation in the church, it needs to grow instead of getting weaker. We're going to begin studying this, and you need to be a part of that to help you learn what it means to be an active member of the body of Christ. The Lord's church, Jesus established it while He walked on the earth. You need to come and learn what it means to be a part of the Lord's embassy. I made this quote the other day. It's in this book. It says, when you rediscover church, you'll see the beauty where much of the world only sees the rocks. When you become active in the church, you'll see the beauty of what the church is. The world may see just a bunch of rocks. They may not understand why it's so beautiful. But to us who are active, the church is beautiful. Why should we rediscover church? Because Jesus is worthy. And our world needs a faithful church to point them to the eternal life and peace. The world needs ambassadors making the glory of Christ known to the world. The world needs ambassadors representing Christ, operating out of the embassy to make the glory of Christ known. We are a kingdom assembly, or a kingdom embassy, and we need to be about. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we had to be in your house. I pray that you'll just help us to continue to do your work. And Lord, we're thankful that you told us that we're going to be victorious. The church is not going to fail. It is going to accomplish your purpose. Lord, I pray that you will stir all of our hearts to be more active in our ambassage to the world, so that we could make your glory known. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.